I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And He is our great Redeemer. And He is coming soon. He is really coming soon to take us to be with Him. Now before we, I'd like to read this scripture text, and it's taken from Philippians chapter 4. Could you please turn to Philippians chapter 4? Philippians, Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4. Let me read it to you. Beginning from verse 1, verse 11. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudeus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoiced. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but you lack opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. May the Lord bless this reading of His word. Now, Paul wrote this letter in prison. Actually, he was under house arrest. He rented a house in Rome under Roman guards, of course, but he had stayed there for 2 years, and he had the liberty of receiving friends and others. And then wherever he was, he always taught the word of God. So this is one thing that's so wonderful. And imprisoned, he wrote this letter. He wrote them to the church in the Philippi, the Christians there. And then I believe with all my heart here, he knew there were some problems. This church has always been very close to Paul. For right from the very beginning, they had supported him. And then when they were imprisoned here, they even sent someone, Epaphroditus, to take a love gift so that maybe his life there may be more comfortable for him. And so Epaphroditus. And so he wrote this letter to them, taking that opportunity to thank them for all their co-laboring with him, for all their support. He really thanked them. He loved them very, very much. As you can see there at the very beginning here, the first verse he says, he called them, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved. And then after he ended with dearly beloved, again, my dearly beloved. He was so close to them. He loved them very much. And if you read in the Acts of the Apostles, you know where his answer to the call, the Macedonian call. You see, there was a man in the vision. He called him. And so he went. And there was the first place he went there. And the first lady that he met was Lydia by the riverside, and how that church started. And all along since then, they have been supporting him. But then through Epaphroditus, and then also some news that he received, there were problems in the church. Problems which were not doctrinal, but problems more of an interrelationship among the members that threatens to divide the church. And so he wrote this letter to them. And this passage we have here from verse 1 to 7 particularly, is quite relevant to all of us here. Many of you here, you have, this is a new church. Probably very soon you will be celebrating your 4th anniversary. Correct? 4th anniversary. Yes, and you have come out because of doctrinal differences. And you are here together. And hoping that we are together, and how can we stay together here? And I believe that Paul's words here regarding with reference to the threats of the church in Philippi is completely relevant to us. What can you, or what can we do in order to keep ourselves together, that this church become a vibrant church, a church really other churches will talk about? What can we do? What can we learn from Paul here? What did Paul tell the Philippian church, and that's applicable to us? That's simple for us to understand, not complicated, that we can become a church that God will always bless. So I hope that we'll be ready for this. So you have your Bible open to it. Let us look. What is the secret, therefore, of building a harmonious, vibrant church that God can use in a great and mighty way? So the first one, you know that in the first few verses here, that Paul uses the phrase "in the Lord" 3 times. It is a significant phrase. 3 times he used the word. And here the phrase is used with three particular attitudes of Christians in the church. Three particular attitudes of Christians in the church. For example, you look at verse 1, you have, "So stand fast in the Lord." And then you then the second time you use that also in verse 2. In verse 2, "Be of the same mind in the Lord." And then the third time is in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Now, in connected with these other, each of these attitudes which is used with this phrase, "in the Lord," means that the attitude is exercised or adopted in consideration of who the Lord is. So "in the Lord" here is to live in the sphere of the Lord. This attitude must be within the sphere of the Lord, an understanding of who the Lord is, considering his character, his wants, his desires, what pleases him in his presence. So in other words, stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast. So let us look at the first one. "So stand fast in the Lord." Christians should have this attitude of being steadfast in the Lord. Now, first of all, the meaning of steadfastness here. The man who is backwards and forwards, who always is backwards, who go forwards and backwards, or who is easily up to boiling point and then soon down to zero, and who is on the hooks and off the hooks 10 times a week, suddenly like a flash with zeal, and next like a snail crawling in lethargy, will not have a happy Christian experience. Steadfastness is this: it is better to have a friend and a fellow worker, a man of less brilliance and with fewer ideas, who will be occupied by one thought and give it regular and patient expression. It is better than suddenly a person who is full of zeal one moment and the next moment completely down to zero. But what steadfastness means here is like a person, a soldier. Not necessarily that you are brilliant. No, you are steadfast, you are firm, and you keep on. You are governed by one thought, and here is in the Lord, doing the Lord's work, considering who he is, loving him, doing his work. You don't need to be a brilliant man. This morning we learned you don't need to. What the Lord needs from you is your faithfulness, your steadfastness, having considered who He is. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is our Savior. He calls us to preach His gospel. He calls us to build the church. He's always present with us because He said, I will be with you when you go and preach the gospel. When you go and teach my commandments, He said, I'll be with you. And with that thought, you stick to it and you will not move. And patiently you do His work. Be steadfast in the Lord with that sole objective that you have. So it is wonderful. This is what God tells us to do. So the first attitude is an attitude. You have this attitude, it will manifest in your actions. The first attitude that we all should have as we are here in this very young church, the first attitude is that we must be steadfast in the Lord. There are two very important things that we have to be steadfast. If we read in the book of Revelation towards the end times, what are the two important things that we have to be steadfast? One is faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Witness the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died and 3 days later He rose again from the dead and will come again. Witnessed Him. Never deviate from that truth. And the second one is what? The testimony of His word. Whatever God says here, the testimony of His word, this infallible, inerrant word. And we have to be steadfast in the Lord. That should be our attitude. We should decide this once and for all. So if you are if we are attacked and people try to discourage us and try to steer us away from the Lord Jesus Christ and away from the Word of God that is the truth, we should say no, straight away, no. So the first attitude that we must have, all of us here must have, we want this church to be strong for the Lord. It is the Lord's church. Then we have to be steadfast. This we cannot compromise at all. This is the attitude you and I must have. All right, what is the next one that the Lord says here? The next attitude to be here is of the same mind in the Lord. Here you find in verse 2, here Paul says, I beseech you and beseech Syntyche. There are two women there, Euodia and Syntyche, two women, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now the circumstance is that these two women, they were not of the same mind. There were some differences. And the differences were not doctrinal. If they were doctrinal, Paul would have already addressed it. They were not. So what were they? Definitely something with regard to relationship. It's very true in a church, our attitude towards one another. When we don't have the same mind, what's the reason? Sometimes because maybe they are jealous of one another. You'll find that these two women, they also were co-laborers of Paul. They were zealous in God's work, and yet they were not together. And Paul here pleaded, he says, personally addressing, I beseech you, Eudoas, I beseech you, Syntyche. He pleaded with them, please have of the same mind. And so their differences is, as I said here, is interrelationship, maybe because of jealousy for one another. That's very common in a church like this. Or sometimes we badmouth one another. She tells somebody something about her, and she tells somebody about her. You tell me about her, you go tell her about one another. So it's not good because of this. And this kind of thing is dangerous in a church. If you are going to be together here, because this kind of thing is going to divide the church. And when you divide the church, it will weaken the testimony of this church. So second, you must have this attitude. Now what is this? To have the same mind. To have the same mind, how? What is it? Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Let me read to you here this part. Philippians chapter 2. Just the same book here, Philippians chapter 2. And let me read to you from verse 3. Let nothing be done. So Paul knew there was a problem there. And here earlier Paul says, in a very veiled way, say, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. It's got nothing to do with doctrines here. They got their doctrines were right. Let nothing be done to strive of vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. This is the correct attitude. Look at verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was it? Verse 6. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself, verse 7 is significant, made himself of no reputation. God, Jesus Christ, God, made himself no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So what is significant here is your where Paul says here in verse 3, 4, the mind of Christ, to be humble, to esteem another better than ourselves. And those who strive and vain glory here, he says here, but every man looking for things of others. And sometimes in the church you have leaders in different committees, and then you are doing a work, and then you only care for your committee. And then when people do some other work and then infringe upon your work or the time that you've taken on the same day, and then it's going to draw some members out of your church, out of your committee there, and then you begin to get angry. So it happened in one church before. And so there was this committee that organizes on that day, they're going to have a spring cleaning of the church. And then another committee say they're going to have another meeting. And so you have people overlapping, and that one person, that one leader accused the other person of sabotaging. That kind of attitude. Now, here Paul says, and pleaded with these two ladies, their representative of the work there. He threatens to divide the church, to weaken. What is the attitude? To have the same mind in the Lord. I've said first, in the Lord is in the sphere of the knowledge of God. God is always present there. The Lord is present. And then considering who he is. And here in chapter 2 here, Paul tells us, describe to us, what is in the mind of, what's the mind of Christ? Man who, he is fully man, is fully God, and he humbled himself, obedient to God. And so we have the word of God. They have the word of God, we have. And so we should humble ourselves, and then we treat one another in the right way. Attitude. Attitude number 2. Have the same mind. Attitude number 1, be firm in terms of our knowledge of God and His Word. Attitude number 2, as we always come together, we work, we serve the Lord, we are in charge of different ministries and fellowships. We work together. Don't guard your fellowships so jealously that you other fellowships cannot touch them. No. Not through strife or vainglory, but let us work together, having the same mind, having the same purpose. Attitude number 2. Now, the next attitude is what? Attitude number 3. Number 3 is wonderful here. It says what? Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then Paul repeats the thing again. And again he say, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Attitude number 3. Are you happy? Rejoice means, are you joyful in the heart? Are you joyful that you know God? Are you joyful? A Christian should be joyful. Are you? My eye is scanning through, up and down. Why shouldn't a Christian be joyful? Look, some of you are so grim, very firm. Are you happy in your heart? Do you know what you are? How God has blessed you? Let's run through a little. First, we were all condemned. Condemned to hellfire. Correct? Once upon a time, we were walking in our own flesh, in our own sins, in our own world. And God, in His grace and mercy, has brought you to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and has forgiven you. All your sins are washed away, all completely, and imputed upon you His righteousness. You are His children. You call Him Abba, Father. More importantly, also, you are delivered from hell fire. According to the Word of God, if you die in your sins today, you will be cast into the lake of fire eventually. In the lake of fire, to be tormented. For how long? For just a few years, then after that you're completely destroyed and no more? No, to be tormented according to the Word of God forever and ever and ever. That tells us how holy God is. We should fear Him. A consuming fire, God has described Himself. But you and I have been delivered from this. This is something I am, just to think of this, that I have been delivered from this. Because eventually I'll be there. I'm finished my life here. And then if I'm not saved, I'll be cast into the lake of fire. That's terrible, terrible, terrible. But I am saved because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am happy. Correct? Some of you are very happy whenever you nearly met an accident or there was an accident. And then you come out of that accident unscathed at all. While others have died. Wow, you are very happy. You go around and say, I'm very lucky. People say, oh, are you very lucky? You're very lucky. Yeah, I'm happy. You tell everybody. But here is a greater one, delivered from hellfire. Aren't you happy? And the Lord says, I'll be with you. He blesses you so much. Any one of you here are begging for bread? Any one of you are living outside on the road? Anyone? And begging for bread? A child of God? None. None. Any one of you have given the Lord so much? Are you so poor now? Oh, the Lord is no debtor. If you have given to His work, to Him, out of your own heart, the Lord is no debtor. He bless you even more. But He has saved you and me. How much can we give to Him to repay for that? You can't. Because He is so gracious, so wonderful. So why can't a Christian be joyful? So the third attitude that you must have in this church here, be joyful. If every Sunday we come here, we meet each other, we express joy, there will not be trouble. Our trouble will be less. We will be together. So these three attitudes are very important. For this church, our church here, no matter how small it is, stand fast in the Word. In the Lord, stand fast. Two, be of the same mind. Of the same spirit. And three, be joyful. Alright, all of us can do it, correct? There's no need for us to go to university to study to do these three things, correct? No need. All of us can do. All of us can do. No matter how small, whether you're a small boy or a big person or an adult or an old man, man and woman all together, all can do this if you are in the Lord. Be steadfast. Be of the same mind. Be joyful. Now, after that, Paul, having said these three things, he exhorts. He called upon the Christians to do two things. You only do two things. So altogether five things. No, do two things. These three attitudes and the next one, do two things. Now what are the two things? They are given here in verses 5 to 7. What is the first do thing? What is the first do thing? Verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Let your moderation, the word moderation means here gentleness, this whole idea of gentleness, reasonableness, fairness, and submissiveness or yielding. Let your moderation, that means your actions, your actions towards one another, be what? Gentle, be fair, be reasonable, be yielding. Action. Not be rude to one another. Not saying bad about other people, another. No. So here Paul says, he calls on the Philippian church that this action, their relationship with one another, how they treat one another, let it be known to all the people so that people outside will talk about this church. You know this church? What a wonderful people. They are fair to one another. They are gentle. They are reasonable. They are very submissive. No fighting, no quarrel. So good. Everybody talking about it. And when you bring your friends here, they can see this church. Oh, they will want to come. And so Paul says here, this action you do. Question is, can you do? Will you do? The answer is that can. You can. And Paul gives the secret to do this. He says what? The Lord is at hand. How can you do it? Well, Paul says the Lord is at hand. Now what does he mean here? Well, many of us think that, oh, this is referring to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is coming so soon, and therefore, because he's coming so soon, let us all treat one another reasonably. If he's not coming so soon, some people think that it's not. Maybe another 100 years later, because one lady asked me, may the Lord not come so soon, come 100 years later, because he wants to see her grandchildren, children some more. But this is not what the Lord says here. This is what the Lord, Paul is saying here. The Lord is at hand is not referring to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The context itself doesn't tell us that it is referring to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is at hand means the Lord is what? Near. Take the word in its plain sense. Very clear, very simple. The Lord is near. That means the Lord is present always. As the Lord says, I'm always with you. The Lord is near. And if you always have this sense that the Lord is near, you know that He is near, you will treat one another. We all will treat one another in moderation. We will be reasonable. We will be fair. We will be gentle. Because the Lord is near. Because I know the Lord is here. Even right at this moment. And what I say, what I do, what I think also, but importantly here, what I do. If the Lord is near, I will be moderate with each one of us. Reasonable to you. Gentle, right? So in anything, sometimes we have differences. And so sometimes our differences, I want to show that I'm better. And so your muscle of your face all become that. I am better. Inside your mind, you say this lousy guy. You see? But if you realize that the Lord is near, oh, straight away, all that muscles inside loosen. Be gentle. Just now you say that thing, maybe we need some correction. Maybe we can do it another way. I think this is a better way. Instead of saying, you stupid, how can you do it this way? No, be reasonable, be fair. That is action. Action. Alright? Now what is the next one? The Lord is near. Alright, and the next one, of course, in verse 6 here, which you all can do. And the next thing to do is prayer. To be praying. Every Christian is a praying Christian. Can we all pray? Sometimes, many times, people come around and say, I do not know how to pray. You know, how can you say you do not know? The moment you say you cannot do not know means you say to me that you cannot. So you can, actually you can. You just tell the Lord, Lord, I cannot pray. I don't know how to pray. Tell the Lord that. And I believe the Lord will teach you how to pray. Right at that very moment. You tell me, no use, sir. I got no power to change you. But you tell the Lord, Lord, I do not know how to pray to you. Sincerely from your heart, the Lord will teach you how to pray. I believe with all my heart. And suddenly your voice, everything will come out. Tell this, tell that, everything to the Lord. That's how you pray. Because you see, you watch it. What it says here? Be careful for, there are four things about prayer. This is wonderful here. Be careful for nothing. That means here, don't be over worrying. Every time we come to the Lord knows. Every time we come to the Lord, we worry about this, worry about that. We pray about this, pray about that. Sometimes we cry, we knock our head, we pound our chest. And God says what? Be careful for nothing. And what? In everything, by prayer. Pray. And don't be worrying. Yes, you worry about certain things. Yes, but don't be over anxious about that. Bring it to the Lord. The Lord says here. So first, don't be so careful. Second, bring the things to the Lord and supplication with thanksgiving. So whatever you want to ask the Lord for strength for yourself, yes, bring it to the Lord. Say it to the Lord. Just say. Some people say that when they ask you how to pray, they are thinking of what? Stock praises, what you must do. Now there are certain Christians who really, when they pray, they're really quoting verses, you know, one verse after another, or part of the verse, part of this verse, part of that, all joined together. And then when the person you and I hear, wow, so wonderful, man, he knows the verse so much, he knows the Bible so much, how to pray, he prays like that, and I don't know how to pray. That's why that fellow comes to me, how to pray. Pray, just say to God what you want to say, what you say to your father, you ask your father certain things, you ask your father, just ask. That's God says, you see, bring it, tell God, whatever you want here, he says here. And then the next thing that in our prayer, we must give thanks. You know why? Why is it thanks? Why must give thanks always? For what? Because whenever you pray, God answers. Yes, no, wait. God answers? Yes. He's the living God. He answers you. If you say to him, God, help me, he helps you. He helps you. The problem with many of us, when we ask God, we forget everything. We forget what we have asked already, you know? When we ask God, we have to be sensitive to get what God asks. That means believing prayer, you know? This word thanksgiving there, it means you are going to thank God. So every time you pray, you do ask for certain things. Say supplications, asking for yourselves. And God will answer. Yes, he gives you. Wait, he will give you. He say, wait. No means no. No, Lord, no. Thank you also. Because it's no good for you. That is why you give thanks to the Lord. He's not thanking God for nothing. Just only say, Lord, I thank you in order to tickle his ears. No, to make him feel nice. No, I thank you. For what? If you have not asked, you don't get. So ask. And God, in accordance to his will. Yes, no, wait. Alright, that's it. With thanksgiving, let your request be made unto God. Not anybody else. God. the one true and living God. Do you believe that? You say yes, only here in the head. Bring it down to your heart. The one true and living God. He knows you. He sees you. He hears you. And He is able to do. This is your God, my God. This is the God, Paul's God. This is the God, the creator of this whole world. The living God. And He is near you. Understand? Understand what you think, these two things? What He says here, I use His word. Let your moderation, let how you treat one another, how you treat one another with gentleness, with reasonableness, be fair, and be submissive. Have the same mind. Be fair. And the second one, and is prayer. And because prayer is to God, and God is all powerful, He has the power to give, to enable you. And you say, God, I cannot. My mind, all these three attitudes, difficult, God. Then you pray to Him. He will. When you pray, means you honestly say, I cannot, I need your help. He will give you the grace to do it. So the church needs this. This church is going to be strong, powerful, if we can remember these three things, these three attitudes and these two actions. All of us can do, no matter how small or how great you are. You can. And let us do it. Let us do it. And the last thing, what God says, God promise you. God promise you. See, if you do it, God promises. He says here, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding, the peace that God is going to give you, God's peace, which He's going to give you in your heart, in your mind, which you cannot even fully understand, passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Shall keep your hearts and minds. How wonderful it is. The peace of God. That God's peace. The God's peace that He gives you. Because He is God. Because you know that He is God and He gives this peace inside you. It's so wonderful. And in the midst of calamities, of problems, all these things, you have that peace in your heart. You do not fight against it. There is this peace. And then keep your hearts and minds. This means that keep you sober. Your heart and your mind. You always have the presence of mind. And in these calamities, in difficulties, in everything, your heart and your mind is always there. You have the presence of mind. Your heart is not moved. You're not afraid. This is the peace that He's going to give you and strengthen you. How wonderful it is. And if you this, I can see the byproducts of this. If it keeps your heart and minds okay, steady, you won't get mental problem, right? You won't get depression. If your heart also, you won't get heart attack. You don't have to see the cardiologist. It's very expensive. Maybe you have to see the psychologist or psychiatrist. No. His peace is with you. What do you need to do? Steadfast in the Lord. Correct. Be of the same mind in the Lord. And be what? Joyful. Three attitudes. Two actions. Moderation. That means our treatment with one another. How we treat one another. And then by prayer. That means you always go to the Lord. You read the lives of Paul. You read the lives of Moses. All of them. They went to the Lord. When the people, in Numbers chapter 20, I believe, when the people scolded Moses, you brought us all here. They're almost near the promised land. Scolded Moses, you brought us here to kill us all. No water, you know. Moses kept quiet. and Aaron, both of them got fired. What did they do? They went to the tabernacle to the Lord. And they dropped and fell on their face. Quiet. Did not even say a word. In fact, God knows them. Lord, help me. For 40 years they have been like that. And God gave the answer. The same with all of us. So prayer is the wonderful thing that God has given us. We all as Christians only have this privilege. This privilege, this power. The power of prayer. It is not the prayer only, it's because who you pray. The power of the prayer become powerful because who do you pray to? And you pray to God. It's God. You can talk to God, the living God, the creator of this world. You can talk to him through this prayer. It's all possible because of Jesus Christ. And that is the power. It's not by praying long prayers or wonderful prayer or beautiful prayers or long, or those words. No need. You stammer and talk to God. He's also answer. He say, wonderful. Because your heart is right. Because it is he who has the power. It is he who has the power. And you pray to him. And he answers. He says, you ask, I'll give. You knock, I'll open. You seek, you'll find. He says that. All, not me, he says it. And if this church can have these three attitude practice, please change. Right now and now you have to change. You have to do whatever things you have to do in your mind now to have these three attitude in your steadfast. I will never be moved. I believe in God totally, completely, stand fast. This is the church that has been faithfully preaching the word of God. It's where I want to be. And be of the same mind together. And then be happy. And then do two things, alright? Treat one another. And then pray. And God promised he gives peace. This is a wonderful congregation. Bring your friends. Be here. This is where you all must be. Fill up this all, this pews of all fill up. I pray the Lord that one day be overflowing. From the top and even from here on the ground. Every pew full of people loving the Lord. All joyful. At present you're not singing enough. Not strong enough. You can't feel the whole hall. I sit down there, I can't feel the hall shaking. Now we must sing our hearts out and fill this whole hall. And the Lord will be praised. And the Lord will bless. You test the Lord can bless you abundantly. More than you can ever expect. You know? But you must do first for him. Because we are his creature. He is the creator. He is Lord. We are servants. First. Correct? You don't go and tell your boss, you pay me more, then I work harder. Next moment you get sick. You will remain where you are. You do more and show your boss you are capable. Then the boss will pull you up. Correct? Correct or not? And you tell God, you bless me, then I worship you. You bless me, then I do this. You don't bless me, I don't go to church. What is this? How do you honor God? Tak boleh. You do first. And God will bless you. And God is not stingy, okay? Your boss only can give you to certain limit. With God, no limits. No limit. Until you cannot take it. You must tell God, stop. I can't take it. That is our Lord, our God. May all of us lock our hands together and really serve the Lord. Let us make this church his church. And God has brought all of you here. I believe with all my heart, all of you. Together, be standing fast, be joyful, be of the same mind. Treat one another well And let other people would talk about it. This church, wonderful, he said. And pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray, Father, for your blessings upon True Life BPC. And we pray, Father, you raise many more and all, Lord, to serve you and make this church, Lord, a wonderful church. A church that will people will praise and glorify and honor you because of what you have done in and through us. Bless this church, Lord. This we pray, we ask you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.